first scripture reading this morning is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 2. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The second reading is out of the Gospel of Luke, which should be just a little bit earlier in your Bible. We're going to read chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And then when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days, told no one any of the things they had seen.
Morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. This is how Paul describes the reign of God to the church at Corinth. This is what it looks like when God's truly present in our midst and we're participating in his life. We're free. It's an important reminder because so much of our talk about God is about rules and regulations. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone who, when they find out that I'm a Christian pastor, apologize to me because they said a swear word a couple sentences ago. They apologize to me because they assume that I, as a Christian pastor, must be very sensitive and very concerned about following the rules around naughty language. If only they knew me. It's funny because I have a pretty foul mouth and I'm not offended by bad words. It's funny, but it's also revealing because for most people in our society, the definition of religion is saying the right things and being a nice person. about being an upstanding citizen, having a good reputation. Religion is about coloring in the lines and not getting into trouble. But in our scripture readings for this morning, we get glimpses into a life of power and spirit, an experience of God's presence and direction that blows all that superficial religiosity out of the water. So sure, maybe I'd be a better person if I swore less. But compared to cleaning up my language, the life that Paul's describing is a completely different category. It's a life of hope, a life of boldness, of tearing away the veil of half-measure religion and encountering the God of the burning bush with all of his fire and fury and majesty, his power and his love. That's the God that Peter and James encountered when Jesus took them up on the mountain to pray that day. They saw Jesus transformed. He was shining and brilliant. Moses and Elijah appeared to talk to Jesus about the ordeal that he was about to undergo in Jerusalem. And a cloud came and was in the midst of them, like a pillar of smoke that led the Israelites so long ago. That cloud overshadowed them, and a voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." So a psychedelic experience, basically. It's such an overwhelming experience that Peter's clearly a little out of his mind. He starts talking nonsense about alpine camping. "Let's set up some tents. We can hang out with Moses and Elijah." God has shown up, and the glory of the Lord has shown among them. They've seen the face of God in Jesus, and they hear the testimony of God's voice in the cloud. But yeah, clean language and tithing, circumcisions and baptisms, quicker business process and committee meetings. This is where religion spends most of its time, in the weeds. This is what Paul's trying to talk to us about in our reading this morning. The religious people of his day were just like us, off on a head trip about God, off on a human trip about words and traditions and identity. But that's not the essential thing, says Paul. What's really critical is that we turn to the Lord. Because when we do that, we no longer see God through a veil. And it didn't even occur to me until a few minutes ago that I'm wearing a veil as I deliver this sermon. So I'm no Moses, but I'm wearing a veil like Moses. And when we turn to the Lord, we see past the crude human finger painting and come into the presence of the master artist himself. I think you guys remember that back in the day when Israel was in the wilderness after they escaped from Egypt, Moses would speak with God on the mountaintop, and he would return to the people to share what God had told him up there. But his encounter with God left his face shining. And it was so off-putting, it was so weird, it was like a floodlight. It freaked people out so much that he wore a veil, probably a bit more than I've got, so that people could hear him when he spoke and not just be freaked out or not just be blinded. So he spoke through the veil. He spoke the words of God through the veil. But the people were not ready to see the glory. And knowing that background helps us to make sense of our readings this morning. What Paul's saying to the Corinthians, he's saying that the time of veils is over. Jesus is our new Moses, and Jesus doesn't settle for veils. Jesus brings us directly into God's presence. He invites us to shine with the same light that covered Moses and Elijah, a light that shines out of Jesus and speaks to us in the cloud of witness. When we turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. We encounter God face to face. And when we step into that presence together, when we're being led by God directly, religion becomes a secondary concern. Now, don't get me wrong, religion isn't bad. Our traditions and our structures and our buildings and our rituals, they can be helpful. We humans, you know, we're animals as well as spirit, right? We need rhythms. We need patterns. We need forms. We need community. These things, this religion provides a framework that helps us remember what God has done for us and to open ourselves to receive God's power and God's glory. After all, you know, religion was not absent from this mountaintop experience that we just read about. Moses and Elijah were there, right? The law and the prophets, Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, they were there. The mountaintop was filled with the glory of God who inspired the religion of Israel. Peter and James and John came to understand their religion as never before, because now Jesus stood in the midst of them. But in the end, as the disciples stood there on the mountaintop, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets faded away. And there was just Jesus. They turned to the Lord, and God put aside the veil. He revealed to them that the law and the prophets had always been pointing to Jesus. We've let so many things get between us and God's full presence and guidance in our lives. Addiction, unhealthy relationships, political and religious ideology, fear, our own need to be right and to be in control. We've been led astray by these petty gods of our own making. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Turning to Jesus, we can be made whole again, centered and grounded in body and mind and spirit. So as Peter said when he was on a psychedelic trip, it is good for us to be here, praying on the mountaintop with Jesus, with Moses and Elijah. It's good for us to be here, waiting for Jesus to conclude his conversation, to bear witness with him when the cloud of God says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." It is good for us to wait in silence, to humbly abide with Jesus after all the glory fades, to wait until we see that there's only one left thing for us to do, to continue following him, to walk with him back down the mountain.